Exodus chapter 23 and verse 27. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. That for or because there, that last sequence after that colon, it applies to both of the issues in verse 7. There's three parts to that verse, and I hope you see it. The first part of the verse, keep thee far from a false matter. The second, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. And then the third, for I will not justify the wicked. So you can break that up really and say, keep thee far from a false matter, for I will not justify the wicked. And also, the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. The third part of that verse applies to the first and the second part of the verse. Okay? So we're going to be dealing with the first part of that verse today. And the title of this message is A False Matter. A False Matter. So if you were to do any study on chapter 23 of the book of Exodus in verse 7, you may come across a quote from John Gill. And John Gill says on his exposition of this verse, he says, though God justifies the ungodly, he does not justify ungodliness in them or them in ungodliness. Okay? So we're speaking here of a false matter. So God justifies the ungodly. I'm ungodly, and he justified me in Jesus Christ. But he does not justify or say that it's right for me to live in ungodliness or for ungodliness to be in, near, or around me. He does not justify. You cannot justify that. Okay? He does not justify that. So as we jump into this, we need to understand some definitions. Okay? So point one is just definitions. So when he says keep thee far, you know, when you tell a kid stay away from something, they like to get as close to that something as they can and still be away from it. He doesn't say get close to it, but far from it. He says, keep thee far. Be at a distance. Go away. Okay, go away. Send away. Show distance. Remove yourself. Widen yourself in any direction. He's saying, get away from it. Increase the relationship of distance between you and that thing. Be good. Be far off, or be a good way off. Be a good far off, he's saying. Verse 7, keep thee far. So when the Lord says to keep far from something, not close, not near, not in between, but far from something, how close is too close? Well, any closeness is too close, right? If he says keep far away from it, how far are you expected to be from it? Away from it. Keep away from it. So what are we to keep away from? What were the children of Israel to keep far from? Well, a false matter. Okay. So think about what's going on here. They had just left Egypt. And in Egypt, they were worshiping all kinds of gods and had all kinds of idols and all kinds of things going on. And they were going to a place where they had as much, if not more, of the same things going on, more of the same, more idols, more idolatry, more sinfulness, more wickedness, more devil worship. So they may have been enticed to come near unto false matters, whatever those are, and we'll get to that. They may have been enticed because a lie does not promote itself as a lie. It promotes itself as the truth. Yeah. It promotes itself as good, not as bad. Stay away from it. What does this require? It requires a little bit of discretion, doesn't it? How do we know if I'm supposed to keep away from something? He says, keep thee far from a false matter. Well, how am I supposed to know if it's a false matter? Well, discretion in the Lord, of course. That word false means a lie. How am I supposed to know if I'm keeping myself away from a lie? Well, do you know what the truth is? How am I supposed to know if I go out into all these places and are telling the lie? Do you know what the truth is? How am I supposed to know if something is a deception, another word for false, a deception? Yeah. Well, who was more subtle and cunning? Who is deceitful? Who's the father of lies? Satan himself. False means disappointing or something that can't hold up. Something that comes across with deceit or fraud. Something that can injure you. course, if something's false, it's not the truth. So if something is true, it is true. It's not mostly true, it's true. If something is not true, then it is false. It's a lie. He says, keep thou, then, in verse 7, keep thee far from a false, a lying, a deceitful, a fraudulent, an injurious matter. Now that word matter could be rendered speech or speaking, hearing something, saying something, but also could be translated to mean business or occupation or behavior or way of living. So keep thee far distant, put a great distance between you and things that lie, things that offer deception and deceit, things that are injurious, things that are wrong, things that lack validity, things that are vain, they're not true, things that are contrary to God and His Word. And do so in the way you're talking, and do so in the way you're hearing, and do so in the way you're living. That means in everything. Why? Why did he tell them that? Because guess what? When they went into that new land there in Canaan, and they saw how pretty the little girls were, or how handsome the little boys were, and they wanted to start having marriage and relationships and this kind of stuff, they could start to justify just about anything. Well, so and so, yeah, they're this and they're that. They're not all bad. They're good people. They're good neighbors. They're hardworking folk. That's what people try to do. What does the Lord say in the C part of that verse? For I will not justify the wicked. That word justify means to make righteous or be righteous, to see as right, to declare those things right. The Lord does not declare those things right. I can declare those things right, but they're still wrong in the eyes and mind of God. Just because I declare something right and I justify something doesn't mean it's justified before God. Who do I think I am when I can do something like that? He says, I will not justify the wicked. That's the criminal. That's the guilty. Those are those that are sinful. They're guilty and they're hostile toward God. That's what the wicked are. And yet we so arrogantly desire to be close to this stuff rather than keeping far from it. Just a simple reading of this verse, we should say, yes, amen, I will do it. I desire that. Get it from me. Get it far from me. I like to eat. And I say this often. Jill and I can be sitting on the couch eating potato chips or something, and I'll roll up the bag and say, get these things from me. I'm going to eat the whole bag. Do we truly desire that wickedness, that we would be far from it? Or do we rather justify wickedness because it has a soft place with us in our hearts? I'll tell you what, point two, the law exposes sinners. The law exposes sinners. If you're not exposed already in this message, hang on. It is the natural and sinful tendency for sinners to justify sinners. For me to tell you why I did the things that I did, even though I'm blatantly sinning against God and blatantly hurting other people, it is the natural and sinful tendency for every one of us to justify wickedness. Oh, no, it's not. Okay. Lord, it's that woman you gave me. Lord, it's your fault. If you had not given me that woman, she would not have tricked me and tempted me, and I wouldn't have done this thing. So said the first man that ever lived that was created truly. He was innocent. Isn't that the natural tendency of a human being? To justify wickedness? Oh, Lord, it's that creation you made. That snake, he was so sneaky. Oh, he got me. Oh, it's his fault. I just wanted to see what it was, Dinah said. I just wanted to see what was going on in the land. But what about? So the law exposes us as sinners. to justify our sin. Well, I can do this because I'm mad. I can do this because I'm angry. I can do this because I'm lonely. I can do this because whatever the justification. I can declare myself right even though my behavior is hostile toward the word and will of God, even God himself. It's an assault on his throne and against his holiness, but I can justify myself. See how sinful does that sound? It's a natural and sinful tendency to justify keeping close, not far, but close, a false matter, a lie, a deception. We can choose to believe things that are just flat untrue if we think we can benefit from them, right? That's what we do. That's in our speech. That's in our behavior. That's our sinful nature, y'all. That's who we are. If it was not our sinful nature, then there would not be a rule against it. The law exposes us that our natural inclination is not to do this. Our natural inclination is to get close and near false matters, not to stay away from them. To receive, accept, and hold a false testimony, that is our natural position. To receive, accept, and justify a wicked side of a cause. I don't do that. No, I'm just. I exercise just judgment. Well, how could we find sympathy towards sinners then? Oh, if you just knew why I did this. If you just knew how I grew up. If you just knew my circumstances, you would know. To perhaps even engage in such behavior as our closeness can build our sympathies, right? Again, what did the children of Israel, why were they not to develop relationships with people who were false in their matters, in their speech, and in their behavior? Because they would develop sympathy for them. They developed sympathy for them. I'll put it this way. I can say, oh yes, all these people who are ungodly and whatever, these are who they are, and I can say some very impressive things or try to. But then when it comes to my own house and my own children, I can say, well, that's not how they are. They're not born in sin. They're not sinning. No, they're loving, they're kind, they're sweet. They do these things. They're well-mannered children. They're not like everybody else. See, because I'm close to them, I can start to justify them, you see. Parents know that just as good as anybody, but as human beings, we all do that. Children might see their parents as maybe Superman or invincible or whatever. Then we realize one day that our parents are just people. But the law exposes sinners. That's what this does. This verse right here exposes us as sinners. Is that we justify wickedness when God will not. The law provokes, listen, this is point three. The law provokes, and it provokes humility. It provokes repentance. And it provokes seeking after the Lord in God's people. And I say that in God's people. It doesn't provoke any of that in those that are not His. But those that are God's people, we will read verse 7 and say, yes, there are false matters and I have not kept from them. And because I have not kept from them, I often have justified that wickedness. It provokes humility, this law does, because there's not one person who has not broken that law. While Moses was in the mount, we're going to read in just a little while, the months, that they said, oh, he's been up there too long. We've got no idea what's going on with him. And they brought themselves very near a false matter, didn't they? They were at the mount. It was thundering. It was lightning. It was on fire like it was smoke everywhere. It thundered. And yet being that close to the Lord, yet they brought themselves also near unto false matters. There's none that escapes, and it should create a humility in us. There's none that escapes this teaching. In that humility, it ought to provoke repentance in us. That we should turn from our justifying of the wicked, and we should turn from drawing near unto a false matter and justifying the false matters and justifying the drawing near unto it. That we would, in humility and in repentance, we would turn unto the Lord. Wickedness. He says, I will not justify the wicked. Wickedness is determined by God, you see. I don't get to determine what is wicked and what is not. And you don't get to determine what is wicked and what is not. That word wicked means criminal or guilty or sinful or hostile against God. I don't get to determine that. God's word declares it. Even God himself. What he says is wicked is wicked. If he says that things about me are wicked, then things about me are wicked. If he says things about you are wicked, then things about you are wicked. If he says that by birth and by nature we are altogether wicked, then we are by birth and by nature altogether wicked. What he says goes.
Right.
Jesus Christ, while he brought justification to the wicked, think about this at Calvary. As he was being judged sin by sin, he was being judged literally. The just for the unjust. He died for me specifically. And I believe God is so detailed that not only did he die for me, but every one of my sins was acknowledged by Christ in his sufferings. I believe it's so, so detailed. So as he's going, just and if you think I'm wrong, go to the Revelation 20 and the books are open and they're judged according to their works. Jesus Christ was judged according to my works. And as those works are gone through, the Lord Jesus Christ did not take opportunity at Calvary to say, you know what, old Joey, he didn't mean that. He didn't try to justify my sinful behavior before God Almighty and tell him all the circumstances and the details and whatever. He didn't say, you know what, maybe we can let that slide. No.
Right.
He does not and did not and will not justify the wicked. He does not say any sin is right or okay.
That's right.
It's wicked. Therefore, because he has such a position on sin. Romans chapter 8. He has such a position on sin, the Lord does. And I firmly believe that in the Trinity they have such a position on sin.
Romans
chapter 8. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son. Just leave it at that. God Almighty didn't even justify sin. Now again, Christ did justify sinners.
Yeah.
In his death and resurrection, he justified them. He became sin that we might become his righteousness. But not one aspect of my wickedness was spared. He that spared not his own son, he will not let sin go. He does not justify it. And you notice that was his own son. As a matter of closeness, I can justify my son because he's my son. Other people, whatever. The Father keeps such a distance from sin that even when it was on his own son, he did not justify it. How in the world can we justify wickedness? I don't care whose kid it is. Therefore, what he says about wickedness, we should do. He says, keep far from it. Oh, but it's my son. It's my daughter. Oh, it's my neighbor. Oh. He says, keep far from it. It's not to be seen as anything but a falsehood. A lie, a deception, a fraud. and untruth. It's not to be meddled with as a matter or as a speech or as speaking and hearing or business or living or attempted to be justified. God will not justify. He says, I will not justify the wicked. What right do you have to try to justify the wicked or give them a place? Well, if you just knew. Again, the law provokes humility, repentance, and seeking after God. Are you exposed here? Falsehood is also determined by God. Keep thee far from a false matter. He didn't give them, he just say, okay, you can figure out what a false matter is or what a false matter is to you, but also circumstantially what a false matter is. No, that deception, that untruth, that way of walking, that way of talking, keep from it. And that's determined by God what it is. Not by you, not by me, not by anybody else. It's not you have your version of false matter and I have my version of false matter. No, a false matter is what God says it is. So what are we to do? Keep far from it. Again, it's my son, it's my daughter, it's my whoever. Keep far from it. Just as much as he spared not his own son, the father spared not his own son. He's not going to love my family or my friends or my neighbors or my whoever just because I care about them. Don't you think he cared about his own son? This is God we're talking about. Keep far from it. Don't meddle with it as a matter. Don't meddle with it. Don't play with it. Don't come near it. Don't be around it. Get away from it. Don't attempt to justify it. Don't justify the false matter. Not to be seen as anything but wickedness. We're to only see these false matters as nothing but wickedness or hostile against God. Okay, so we have all these illegals coming in. Some of them might want to have a good family, a life for their families and provide and all these things. But most of them, it seems, or many of them, I should say, many of them are hostile against us as a nation. Do we want a whole bunch of people who are hostile against our nation to be moved into Silsby, Texas? And surrounding communities for those of us who are outside of standing limits? Do you want that? I don't. Nobody wants to be around hostility. And yet, because we try to justify just about anything, why would we want to be cozy and near to those who are hostile against God? Again, it exposes us as sinners. The more we seek after the Lord, what is wicked and what is false ought to become clear. The problem that we have in being near false matters and justifying wickedness is we're sinners. That's my problem. That's our problem. We struggle at times with discernment of what is false and what is wicked. That's not to play it off and give some, you know, to say I'm not responsible anymore.
That's
just a statement of fact. A struggle with discernment of what is false and what is wicked. Well, it can be false. It can be a lie because I believe it. Well, that has nothing to do with it. Well, it can be wicked because I like it. That has nothing to do with it. What is false is what is wrong or not true compared to what God says is true. What is wicked is what is hostile against God. Well, if God is holy, then everything else is hostile or wicked. But what causes, what can chip away at my discernment? And struggling in discernment, I guess what? I get close. Instead of keeping it at a distance and having good discernment, I get close. And when things get close, the lines get blurry. What's false and what's wicked? What's false and what's true? What's wicked and what's holy? Because I'm too close. Too close. Think about it like if we were playing baseball. And if you were way back there and I was throwing a pitch, you'd have time to adapt. You'd have time to make a good swing. I'm not saying we'd hit it or whatever, but you'd have time to make a good cut. But if I'm just a few feet away from you and I give you a pitch that is all that I have, I'm too close for you to make a good assessment and discernment and swing at the ball. Too close. Can't tell what's a ball or it's a strike. Can't tell if it's high or if it's low. Can't tell. Too close. I've started to appreciate this a little bit. Sometimes if I'm trying to read something and it's too close to my eyes, it gets real blurry. And if it gets too far away, it's also blurry. It has to be right in that discernment zone. Well, sometimes we get so close to stuff, instead of keeping it far like we're supposed to, and that way we can analyze it and see it for what it is, that it is a false manner, we get all close to it. Now we can't make a reasonable judgment on it because maybe we're so close to it, we're intertwined. Watch some of these vines out here, and as they grow, they get close to those trees and then they just start wrapping around them, don't they? Maybe we're so close to certain matters that they've just wrapped around us, thorns and all. They're just wrapped around us. And even if we tried to get away, it would be a fight. You ever try to rip some of these vines off the tree once they're good and on there? Get real close to a false matter and it'll wrap you up. We struggle in our discernment because we're too close and to these matters, the way of walking, the way of talking. And because we want to get close, that's another point of sin. We want to get close to the false matter because we have our sympathies on the false matter, the way of walking, the way of talking. And all this wickedness, why are our hearts drawn unto wickedness? Because we're sinners. What do we have in common with this world and everything in it? The fall is what we have in common. I don't have spiritual things in common with everything, but I have the fall in common with all. Oh, we want to be sympathetic. You know, you can see that in any kind of contest, whether it's a sporting event or just two people arguing on TV about something, whether you like it or not, in your mind you'll start to take sides because one of them draws you in. And it's really hard for us to stay back and say, you know what? No, they're both wrong. They're both awful. One of them will draw us in, more than likely. Where's our discernment? In struggling in discernment, as sinners, we start to justify matters in their falsehood, in their wickedness. We start to justify what people say. We start to justify what people do. We start to justify hostility toward God because it's my mom, it's my dad, it's my brother, it's my sister, it's my son, it's my daughter, it's my whoever. Oh, I really care about them and their hostility toward God. Oh, I really care about them and their fraud before God. Oh, I really care about them and their speech and behavior. Being in direct opposition against God. Do you see why the Lord tells the children of Israel, stay away from it? Keep thee far from it. Far. What hinders our discernment? And I say our because it's not you, it's our. Me, I am included. What hinders that? The biggest thing is sin. Look in 1 John chapter 2. John is writing to saved people. Okay? In 1 John chapter 2, he says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Keep far from them. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone justifies false matters and wickedness in total, they're not saved. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So then, if they were to draw near, instead of keeping far, if they were to draw near false matters or worldliness and justify wickedness, that is an evidence that they are not saved. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This one hits real close. If I justify a false matter or wickedness, being close to it, I lose sight of God's view of everything. I prefer my view over God's view. That's what happens. If something is no longer sinful to me and I can draw near unto it and be perfectly content and even love it and justify it, I have neglected God's view of it. If I'm close to a false matter, I can justify anything and everything about it. But guess what? God won't. The closer I am to a false and wicked matter, the further I am rationally, that is, by reason of mind, expectation, and decision making from God. Not positionally. He died for me and I will forever be with Him. But you know, when I start getting close to these false matters and wicked behavior and all this kind of stuff and justifying it, rationally, I am drifting from God. That song that we sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Leave Him for what? To draw far from Him and draw near to this world in wickedness. Here's my heart, O, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. It is sealed. But we are prone to draw into justifying wickedness and sinfulness and false matters. We're prone to that. And I keep mentioning close family relationships because that seems to be something that really has a hold on people. It's close family relationships. That God's word means what it says until it says that very thing against someone I love. So what hinders our discernment? The love of this world. That's the first thing. The love of this world. Oh, yes. That false matter can't be something I love. That false matter can't be something that I want to participate in. That false matter is enticing and a lie by its very nature. And it's wicked by its very nature. It's hostile against God by its very nature. Doesn't matter who it is or what it is. If God declares it a false matter or wicked, it is a false matter or wicked. So what hinders our discernment? A love of this world. What also hinders our discernment? Lust. I want to do it. I want to do it. James chapter 1. Oh yeah, God said not to do it, but I want to do it. God just wants me to be happy. That's what it's all about, is me and my happiness. Said the fool. James chapter 1 verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away from what? From God. And God's holy position on everything. If you're drawn away from God, what are you drawn away unto? His own lust, it says. So instead of keeping far from false matters and drawing near unto God, one is keeping far from God, and drawing unto false matters in his own lust. Spiritual. What hinders our discernment? Lust.
Yeah.
And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err. Error, my beloved brethren. So what are we supposed to draw close unto and what are we supposed to keep away from? We're to trust the Lord, do what He says, draw near unto the Lord. We're to trust the Lord, do what He says, and keep far from false matters. Oh, but our lust has a say in that, doesn't it? And it's a sinful say every time. What also hinders our discernment? Spiritual immaturity. You know, people who think they're really spiritually mature and yet they just draw near unto sin, or just that's their thing, is they just love justifying wickedness. They're never brought to a place of humility, repentance, and seeking after the Lord. They're always right about everything, and they're right by heading headlong into sin. Hebrews chapter 5. Please look, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. What hinders my discernment? Spiritual immaturity. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You've been saved long enough and you've been around long enough. You should have such experience and wisdom in biblical things. You ought to be teaching people and mentoring people, but I got to go over the basics again with you, the writer says. And I become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Look at this. For everyone that useth milk, useth. He didn't say drink, he says useth. What's food? It's fuel, right? Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So if someone cannot apply and does not apply drawing near unto the Lord and keeping far from sin and keeping far from false matters and identifying them with discretion and discernment. And if someone is unskilled in acknowledging holiness, yet they desire to justify wickedness, they're unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Be strong, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature, even those who are by reason of use, not reason of drinking or eating, but reason of use. Yes, exercise. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So why can't someone exercise to discern both good and evil? Why can't someone exercise to discern, to stay far from false matters, and to quit justifying wickedness? They're spiritually immature. And you know what? Those are the people that think they have the most maturity of all. Those are the people who think they got it down. Those are the people who have a loftiness about them, or so they think. But their discernment, their exercise, they just don't have it. They don't have it. I say this, that to a degree, all of us love this world. This world has a hold on all of us. That's all I know. As that song, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I have a hope that lies within me, but the only existence I've ever known has been in this world. And I carry everywhere I go, I carry this bag of flesh that has its own desires associated with it. And even being a pastor and spending many hours in study and meditation and prayer, and I believe having being taught of the Lord Himself, I'm still immature in the Word of God, and I still have growth that needs to be done. If anybody thinks that they have arrived, I want to talk to them.
Right.
But there is a point where we should, look, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He is telling them, you should have been there already. There comes a point where spiritual maturity should be expected. And when I see that my discernment has taken a hit, well, being a mature or desiring to be a mature child of God, then humility, repentance, and seeking after the Lord should be at hand. A desire to keep far from a false matter should be a no-brainer. And to leave off justification of wickedness and the wicked, that should be easy for me to do. As I said this morning, and as we read, as Paul said, rather, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You must stay far from sin? Okay, got it. You may quit justifying wickedness? Okay, got it. Now what? That simple command. Keep thee far from a false matter. For I, the Lord, he says, shall not justify the wicked. Don't get close to it. Don't attempt to justify it. See it as God sees it, as false, as lying, as contemptuous against God, as wicked, and as an assault and hostile toward God Almighty. As a parent, if someone tried to harm one of my children, I'd be upset about it. Well, as a child of God, if someone has position against our God, it should upset us. We shouldn't want to draw near unto that type of speech and behavior. We should desire to stay away from it. And yet, by nature, we should desire to see a marvelous work of God declare unto such that are false, and declare unto such that are wicked, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins, and he did that in his gospel. Child of God, we're to keep far from a false matter. The Lord says, he shall not justify. He shall not justify the wicked. I remind you of that Gill quote. I'm going to say it again now that we've had some things to think about. Gill said, though that God justifies the ungodly, he does not justify ungodliness in them or them in ungodliness. In drawing near unto false matters, though God doesn't justify ungodliness in people and people in ungodliness, we certainly do, don't we? Either by circumstances or position or history or whatever. Oh, they're doing this. I excuse them. It's okay. It's not sinful. If you just knew. So what that's doing is taking an ungodly position on sin and an ungodly position on truth. Thank God that while the Lord does not justify ungodliness in his people, or people in ungodliness, he does justify his people in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
There is not one, that is not guilty of Exodus chapter 3, verse 27. Excuse me, chapter 23, verse 7. Not one. Accordingly, as a people delivered, they were a delivered people. They were to draw unto the Lord in all things, and the things of this world, the falsehoods and the wickedness, they were to desire to get away from it. As a people delivered, we should seek the Lord and the beauties of his holiness. And when we see him for all his holiness, all every false matter, every lie, every wickedness, every hostility against the Lord, it ought to turn our stomachs. To trust the Lord and to do what he says should be sweet to us. Think of the grace in this. We see the grace in the law point by point. Keep thee far from a false matter. Draw unto me, my people. Look back just a few pages. I know we've been at Sinai now for about a year, and they were only there for 3 months. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Excuse me, we'll read verse 3. Moses went up unto God, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you positionally unto myself. So they were told, keep far away from false things, but I have brought you to myself. Child of God, remembering that the Lord has brought us near unto himself in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for him to say to us to turn our backs on sin and false matters and wickedness, we should be glad to do it. Glad. I mean, as think about it in just in a human aspect, if as children, you know, think about your childhood as children, you did something and you weren't supposed to do it and you deserved punishment from your parents. Instead of getting punishment from your parents, they came to you and said, hey, I know you did wrong and that wrong will be dealt with. But how about let's go down to the store and get some ice cream? Wouldn't you be happy about that? Probably. You don't like ice cream, pick your own, what you would prefer. And be happy about that. You should have, you deserved the punishment and you got a reward instead. And not because of you. Oh, man. Being guilty of this, deserving the wrath of God, the penalty of sin, and yet being given grace and being brought near unto God Almighty in the finished work of Jesus Christ, to say we ought to be glad to be obedient is an understatement. It should be sweet to us. To justify and be near false matters and wickedness, it should remind us how sinful we really are. It should break our hearts. You ever have to answer for somebody before? Like they did something wrong and then you got to answer for it? Well, if someone is wicked or they're living a life of false matter, either by voice or by behavior, well, child of God, you draw near unto that stuff, you're going to have to answer for that. Right. It should break our heart. If we try to explain why a sinful man did a sinful thing and try to make it sound like it's right, it ought to convict our hearts on the spot. Trying to break our hearts. How can we justify the wicked when God himself says, I will not justify the wicked? There is no excuse for sin. There is no excuse for drawing near unto sin. There is no allowance in the Word of God that says, okay, well, here's a way you can sin and get away with it. Seeing the seriousness of the false matter and the wickedness, we have a desire to keep far from it. I'm not a heights guy. Brother Adam, you're not a heights guy either. If we were up on a height, I was up on a skyscraper one time in Louisville, Kentucky, and you can get up on this thing, and we weren't supposed to be there, and there weren't rails either. It was just the roof and then the edge, like you see in the movies. You know, it was not an observatory kind of a thing. And when we were up there, you could feel that building going like this up there. Well, me and my lack of joy of heights, guess what? I wasn't coming anywhere near the edge of that building. I thought, well, yeah, one good breeze and man, I'm falling to my death. And I knew I was unsaved at the time, too. I was keeping me far from the edge of that thing. Not even close. Far. And yet we play with it, don't we? God help us that we would desire to keep far from a false matter and not justify the wicked, not say those that are hostile toward God are right in any way. And if you just say that aloud, it makes sense. If somebody's hostile against God, well, again, well, how do I know if somebody's hostile toward God? And why can't I tell if somebody's hostile against God? How much do you love this world? How much lust you got in your heart? How much spiritual maturity do you have on you? Are you willing to let things go in discernment because you're too close to the matter? Many times the answer to that, sadly, is yes. Sinner, you will not be justified before God in a false matter. God will not say, Jesus Christ will not say, He will not present you before His Father and say, you know what, I didn't die for this person, and they're sinful, but you know what, they're really likable. And they're, you know, you should have just known them, and they're just the bee's knees, you know, they're just great. He will not justify a false matter. He will not do it. He will not justify, you will not be justified before God in wickedness. As the Lord commands that His people will be far from wickedness and false matters. Think about that. He doesn't command His people to do anything He's not resolute on. Meaning, if He says to do something, He does it. If He says don't do it, He doesn't do it. When He says keep thee far from a false matter, when the false matter was placed on Christ, He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When those who are a false matter are before His presence, what will He say? Depart from me. Get away from me. I never knew you. He will cast them alive in the lake of fire. God Almighty will honor this command. He will keep false things and wicked things away from Himself. Okay? Without exception. We read that this morning in the book of Revelation. Look at that. I'll read it to you. Revelation 21:27. What is not permitted in His presence, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. False matters and wickedness will be departed forevermore. He will honor His own command. He will honor His own decree. And He will do it perfectly. You see, I don't do this perfectly. I don't keep far from false matters perfectly. And I do justify wickedness. I'm a sinner. That's what we do. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's bad. It's sinful. But God does not sin. He will keep Himself far from false matters. And He will not justify the wicked. He will not let it go. Will not let it slide. Yet one may be justified, made right. Not that their sin is now declared not sinful anymore. But Christ being made sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That is justification, which is a different message altogether. But I'll give it to you in the 2-minute version. Justification. Though I was a sinner, Christ took my sin upon Himself. And though He was judged as if He were a sinner, I am judged and examined as if I'm Him. Justified. In the mind of God, when He sees me, He doesn't see me. He sees Jesus Christ. Holy. Acceptable. Justified. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, false matter by speech and behavior, and wicked, hostile toward God, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Much more than being now justified by his blood. I should have died. He died instead. I should have been judged. He didn't let it go. He was judged. God didn't let it go. He was judged. He didn't justify my sin and wave a wand and say, let it be. Sin was judged. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I should have had wrath. He had wrath instead. For if when we were enemies, false matter, hostile toward God, wicked, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There is but one avenue of justification. Your sin won't be just let go, sinner. There is one avenue of justification, and that's the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're just snuggled up as close to falsehood as you could be. And I know that because it's you. You are the falsehood. You are the wicked. I know that because that's me too. Outside of the finished work of Jesus Christ, I am the false matter. I am that wicked. But the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ justifies those. Deems righteous according to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. See yourself as guilty at verse 7. See yourself there as guilty. You are the false matter. Repent. See yourself as guilty. Repent. That's what a child of God would do. Being exposed in the law, it would provoke humility. Repentance and seeking after God, turning from self, turning from sin, turning from wickedness, turning from false matters, turning to the Lord. That's repentance. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that one sole source of justification, that one sole source of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless the preaching of his word.